interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Scripture. I'd like to begin over in Luke in the 14th chapter. Verse 11, Jesus was speaking, and He said, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." I heard about someone getting up at Monarch one time, making the statement, they said, "I want to be great." That might be kind of take people aback just a little bit. But to be great, Jesus taught us that true greatness was in becoming a servant. True greatness was in giving of ourself and sacrificing of ourself for the sake and benefit of others. But Jesus said here, if you exalt, he that exalteth himself, he that lifts himself up with pride, self-exaltation, thinking that I'm pretty special, I'm kind of a cut above everybody else, said he's going to be brought low. He's going to be abased. And it said, he that humbleth himself, in other words, that's a part that we do for ourselves. We exalt ourselves or we humble ourselves. But he that humbleth himself shall be exalted or shall be lifted up. And I would this morning that we all be exalted because we have humbled ourselves. That the Lord would exalt us. The Lord would bless our lives. There is great power in humility this morning. But I want us to focus and consider the story of Nebuchadnezzar. And I had to kind of watch my notes pretty carefully so I spelled it right. But Nebuchadnezzar, there's a lot of lessons to be learned in his life and in how God dealt with him. It was a story of God's intervention in the life of a great king. Nebuchadnezzar was brought to his knees in humiliation, but then he was exalted in praise to God. This message this morning on Nebuchadnezzar, this lesson we have to share, it really demonstrates the message of last week. The goodness and the severity of God. Now, we see that lived out in Nebuchadnezzar's life. It is a warning. His life should be a warning against the danger of pride. The account also speaks very clearly and directly to the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty, by definition, means supreme in power. It means superior to all others, complete authority to do as one wishes. And I would this morning that in addition to the, as we learn a lesson about the danger of pride, that we also go away from here this morning knowing that God is sovereign. God is the supreme power, and God reigns not only in heaven, but He reigns in earth. And when God looks down and chooses to intervene in the course of events in this life, He has that power and that ability to do so. Nebuchadnezzar was a mighty king, and I'm going to lay a foundation, Lord willing. We're going to have to lay a quick foundation. But Nebuchadnezzar, you know the Bible stories. We're going to consider Daniel 1 through 4. Nebuchadnezzar was a king. He was a mighty king. He was a great king. He ruled over the Babylonian Empire, which was really one of the first and the greatest empires ever known to man. One of the greatest. There were four world empires, were there not? But the Babylonian Empire has been known as the greatest in might and in power. Nebuchadnezzar, as a young man, historically his father was still reigning as king in Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar went and besieged Jerusalem. And he took many, as you know your Bible history, they took many of the Babylonians came and they took many of the Jews into captivity, and they took them back to Babylon. And that was in about 607 BC. And it was during that time period that Nebuchadnezzar's father passed away, and he returned to Babylon to take over the kingship during this period. And that's where we find, very soon after he became king, we find that God revealed himself to this king. And he revealed himself through Daniel and the three Hebrew children. We read about how that those four young men, those four men, the Babylonian captives in Babylon, they came and they refused, remember, to eat of the king's meat. They had been chosen to learn the language of the Babylonians. And they had been set apart, probably intelligent young men, probably perceived as leaders. And they wanted to shape them and mold them to be leaders in Babylon. That spoke of the greatness of Babylon. If you're going to have a people in captivity, who better to bring into your fold as leaders than people that know and understand the people you have in captivity? And that was one of the things that bespoke of the greatness of the Babylonian Empire. They took from the people they had captive and they made leaders out of them. And so we find Daniel and the three Hebrew children being presented, wanting to be taught. But remember, they refused to eat of the king's table. And remember, they prospered. And when they came and were brought into the presence of the king, I want to read to you what it says in Daniel 1 verse 20. The king began to commune with them and talk to them. And it said, in all matters of wisdom and understanding then that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. 10 times better. The wisdom that they had was because of their walk with the Lord. And I think that it's noteworthy that God began to reveal himself as God when Nebuchadnezzar was just a young man. When he was a young king, the Lord revealed himself to them. You turn to chapter 2. And we've studied this a couple of years ago, or at some period back. We studied the vision and the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had of the great image. And he forgot the dream that he had. And so he called for all of the learned men and the astrologers to come, tell me my dream. And who has the ability to not only interpret, but to tell you what you forgot? Well, he was going to have them all killed because they couldn't do it. He had high expectations. And remember, Daniel heard about it and he said, just tell the king to give me a couple of days. And Daniel began to fast and pray and look to the Lord, and God revealed that vision. He revealed the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had had. And Daniel, in the second chapter, he went and he told the king, he said, we will tell the interpretation before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. Who made Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon? You hear what I just read? It said the God of heaven. Is anything different today? Do you know that Daniel is one of the books that teaches us that God has set governments in authority in this world? Even ungodly men, even men that are not following the Lord, government is from the Lord. God is the one that puts civil government in place because there is protection. There is security. There is a place. Without government, there would be chaos. And so the God at times directly intervenes in the affairs of man, and the power of God supersedes the heredity of the monarchy. He supersedes the votes of the electoral body. And God can set kings and kingdoms in place. He can set them up and he can tear them down. That is scriptural. And so then Daniel gave the interpretation of this vision to the king. He said the golden head represented who? King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, you're the golden head. You know how that must have made Nebuchadnezzar feel? I am the golden head. You know, if you're the head, it really doesn't matter what's beneath you. I'm top, and I'm the golden head, and I believe he found some glory in that. And Daniel told him, he said, the empire is the first and the greatest of all these kingdoms. And Daniel began to expound by the vision of the Lord what the kingdoms were going to take place. The Babylonian Empire was conquered by the Medes and the Persians. And then the Grecians conquered them, and then the Romans. And in the days of those kings, God established a kingdom that could never be removed, and that was the kingdom of God. Jesus was born during the time of the Roman rule, was he not? And that kingdom has never been destroyed. All these other kingdoms have come and gone. But the kingdom that is lasting still today is the kingdom of God. When we get saved, we enter into that kingdom. And in Daniel, the second chapter, in the 47th verse, the king answered and said to Daniel, "Of a truth." Now this is to the man that just interpreted my dream. He said, "Of a truth, God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians were pagans. They had multiple gods that they worshipped. But Nebuchadnezzar was acknowledging that surely the God of Daniel, this one that I was exposed to about 3 years ago, with the three Hebrew children a few years ago, surely this God is a God of gods. In other words, he wasn't saying there weren't other gods, but he was saying that your God is, he must be chief. He's pretty important. He's a God of gods that can reveal this. And Nebuchadnezzar again then encountered the power of God. And then shortly thereafter we find, as you know the story, and that might have been in his mind that, you know, I'm the head here. I'm a great person. Mine is the greatest power. Mine's the greatest kingdom. And so King Nebuchadnezzar erected a great image. Remember the story? And he had all people bow down in worship and honor of this image that he had erected. But yet there were three young men that did not bow down. Do you remember? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not willing to bow down to an idol. And so once again, Nebuchadnezzar encountered the power of God. Remember, he asked them when they were called, he gave them a second opportunity. And they said, "O king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. For our God will deliver us. But if not, we still will not bow down." They had faith and belief in God enough that regardless of consequences, we believe so much in our God that we're not going to give acknowledgement to one of your pagan gods. And Nebuchadnezzar was stirred in his wrath, and they were thrown in the fiery furnace. But do you remember who Nebuchadnezzar saw in the fire? He saw four. He looked in, and he was perplexed. This man that had been enraged, this man that had encountered the God of gods, all of a sudden now he's saying, "Didn't we throw three men in the fire?" And he said, "Behold, the fourth man is as who? The Son of God." How did he know that? He encountered God. He had seen once again God in His mercy. Do you not see how God deals with people? There are leaders of countries. There are lost loved ones. There's the world that sometimes we think, do they even know who God is? Folks, God in His infinite goodness, in His infinite mercy, is revealing Himself still today to people. So He did to King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar saw the Son of God, the image of the Son of God in that fire. And so then, Nebuchadnezzar made a change in his policy. He brought about a political change in Babylon. In the second chapter of Daniel it said, "Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke," in verse 28 and 29, and this is what Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree. I have encountered God. I have seen faith. And it's going to change His law." He made a decree, and He said that every people, nation, and language. You know, there was no one else that had authority to do that except King Nebuchadnezzar. In a sense, he was the ruler of the world, of the known world at that time. And he said, "Here I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces." Now this is still a pagan king. that he was going to go all out. You say anything against their God, you're going to be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. The Jews were given protection then to serve their God. They were given protection to serve the God, the Creator of the world. And so we find then in Daniel the fourth chapter, and that was our foundation for Nebuchadnezzar. You see how God had revealed Himself over and over. Nebuchadnezzar had been greatly influenced by godly people. Your influence today, God will use your influence in people's lives to perform His sovereign will. You may say, I don't have the power, the ability to change the laws of the land and to change this and that, but God will use your godly influence. The sovereign God can use your influence on others to minister and reveal to ungodly men His purpose for them. Even if they never get saved, okay? Even if they are never godly men, the Lord used a pagan to accomplish His purpose. And it is because God is sovereign. And so then we turn over to Daniel in the fourth chapter. And this is what I'd like us to work through quickly here this morning. That we would learn. Daniel chapter 4, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. It almost sounds like the gospel, doesn't it? To people of all nations, peace. And Nebuchadnezzar gave a description and described an event that had happened in his life. This was his decree. He said, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. The high God. Now, I want all the nations, listen up, in other words. He was kind of clapping his hands, saying, I want everybody's attention. I have it something, a decree, and I want to tell you, I think it's good. I can just see him kind of, I think it's good for you to know the signs and the wonders that I have observed from the high God. And he said, how great are His signs, and how mighty are His wonders. You know, this was a little different king than the one that was saying, bow down to the image that I have erected. This is one that is not putting focus on himself now. This was a king that is pointing people to the God of Israel. He said, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought. How great are His signs and how mighty are His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. This was one of the greatest kings over the greatest empire that the world has ever known. And he acknowledged that God's kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. His dominion is from generation to generation. Do you still believe this morning that God's kingdom is everlasting? God is still King of kings and Lord of lords. And He is still not only reigning in heaven, but He is still reigning in earth. He's a sovereign power this morning. And Nebuchadnezzar pointed that out. His dominion is in heaven, but His dominion is also in earth. And when you go out and face the sin and the problems and the trouble, remember there is still a sovereign God that has the ability and the power to directly intervene in the affairs of this life. If that were not true, there'd be no point to pray. If that were not true, there's no need to petition God. But God is looking down, and He is still working in the affairs of mankind. And so we continue in the verse 4. He said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house, and flourishing in my palace. Want you to understand now, Nebuchadnezzar is telling a story. And he's saying, I was at rest. He had been at war. But he had conquered many countries and many nations. And now he was at rest. because I've conquered. I have overcome. And his heart was lifted up. And he was in his palace. His palace is said the walls encompass 6 miles. And there were places, and they said that his palace, it was magnificent. The pottery and the images and the gold and the gates and everything. This was in the Hanging Gardens, one of the 7 wonders of the world. Nebuchadnezzar. That was there at his palace. And he was looking up there on his, standing on the wall of his palace, looking over. I was at rest. And he was looking over his dominions. And he said, I saw a dream which made me afraid. The man that basically ruled the world, he had a dream and it made him afraid. He'd had a visitation from God. And his thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. And he made a decree and he called all the wise men to come in, the astrologers and the magicians. And as before, they did not know the interpretation. But at the last, Daniel came before me. And he had the spirit of the holy gods before him, and I told him my dream. And Nebuchadnezzar then told the dream that he had. And I'm going to summarize, but Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of in a vision of a tree growing up in the midst of the earth, and the height, he said, was very great. And it said the tree grew, and it was strong, and it reached unto heaven. And the sight thereof, the end of all the earth. In other words, anywhere you on the earth, you could look and you could see this tree. You could see it. And it said the leaves were fair and the fruit was much. And it was meat for all the beasts of the field. And they had shadow under that tree. They all came and they were under this tree. And the fowls of the air came and they nested in this tree. They were fed from it. And he said, I had in my vision... He said, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven, and he cried out, and he said, hew down the tree, cut it down, but leave the stump. Shake off the leaves and scatter the fruit, and the beasts will get away from under it, and the fowls would fly away from the branches. But the roots were left. And it said, and let it be wet with the dew of the heaven, and the portion be with the beast in the grass, and let his heart... Now all of a sudden it changes from the tree and it says, let his heart be changed from man's and let a beast heart be given him and let 7 times pass over him. I want to make mention here, let him become like an animal. Take the heart, the mind of understanding that he has and let it become as an animal. I have seen people who are crazy. And especially here in this country, we put them in asylums and they medicate them up. But in other countries, you will see more people that are out of their minds doing very strange things. Especially in Africa, a lot of times you will see people without any clothes on. Not a stitch of clothes on them walking around, and you can just look at their eyes and they're vacant and you can see they're not in their right mind. Their hair is matted and dirty. Their body's dirty and they're unclothed and you can just see them, you know, something's not right here. Well, this was the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had. And so he was looking then for the dream, his interpretation. But he said it would be for 7 times pass over him. Let 7 times. Symbolically, and I'll just point this out when you begin to study the book of Revelation. Times here represented, we find out historically, Nebuchadnezzar was in this condition for 7 years. It was a week of years that passed over, and that was defined. It said, let 7 times pass over him. Let 7 years pass over him. So that's what a time means. And again, I'll just say, as you study the book of Revelation, study the book of Daniel. Because the book of Daniel gives us much of the symbolic foundation to understand Revelation. We're not just pulling things out of thin air when we study Revelation. The book of Daniel is the primer. And so here we have a definition of times. Let's move on. In verse 17, he said, this matter is the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the Holy One. In other words, it said that we may know that the Most High, speaking of God, ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. Here again, Nebuchadnezzar repeats himself, as he does about three times in this chapter, acknowledging God is sovereign. He sets kings up and he takes them down. When you pray for the leaders of your land, remember this. Those that are in authority, in government, have been established by God. It does not mean that they are godly men. But the Bible does not teach us that the form of government here in America is the godly form. Let's remember that. God is above politics. God, as sovereign, can do what He wants, whether someone is a Democrat or Republic or independent. God can do what He wants. He can do what He wants, whether someone is an elected president, whether they are a king, or whether they're a dictator. God has the power to raise up and set down. He has that same power to do with nations and kingdoms. And that's Nebuchadnezzar was acknowledging that power there. The Scripture says in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to the higher power. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. You study that Scripture out, He's talking about rulers. He's talking about governments. He says God placed governments in order. And that's why as God's people, we're not to be a rebellious people. But we are to acknowledge that government, even if it's led by the basest of men, understand me now, even if it's led by someone I disagree with their politics, there is to be a respect given to the office because government was set in order by God. And He said, let every soul be subject to the higher power. Instruction for us to be an obedient, law-abiding people as children of God. Bible is not about a political system. Listen to some people talk, you'd almost think it was. Folks, God is a sovereign God. God is not a Republican. God is not a Democrat. God is sovereign. He is above all, and He works where He will, how He will, and when He will. God will work. The government is of God. And so then Daniel began in verse 22. He gave the interpretation of the dream that God had revealed to Daniel. And Daniel told the king, he said, the tree that you saw and grew, he said, and was strong and reached up in the heaven. He said, that's you, king. He said, you're that king. You become strong. Your greatness is grown and reached unto heaven. And your dominion is unto the end of the earth. You know this morning that this was from the decree of the Most High God what was to happen to His kingdom. This didn't just happen by chance. Folks, things that happen, there is a sovereign God. And He warned Nebuchadnezzar that you've been lifted up. You've been exalted and all nations are under your leaves. You're providing protection. You're the world empire and you're great. But you've been lifted up, and the king came, the Lord God came, and he said, the messenger of the Lord said, cut the tree down. Give him the understanding of an animal. For 7 years, that was the interpretation. You're going to be driven, king, you're going to be driven from men, and you're going to dwell with the beast of the field, and you're going to eat grass as the ox. In verse 25, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and it giveth it to whomever He will. This morning, God gave Nebuchadnezzar in His mercy an opportunity. He said, you've been lifted up. You've been exalted. Nebuchadnezzar was looking out over his kingdom and he was exalting himself. Look what I have done. Look at how great I am. And I would remind us this morning that Jesus said, if you exalt yourself, you're going to be abased. When you look on people, let's take warning from the story of Nebuchadnezzar. To look on anybody and think that we are better than them, let's remember Nebuchadnezzar. To look on someone and think I'm smarter, I'm richer, I'm better, I'm glad I'm not like them, that's pride. And folks, pride is ugly. Pride is ugly. If God has blessed you, if God has blessed you with ability, where did that ability come from? It came from God. Not to say, oh, I'm thankful I'm not as other men. Or look how good I am. Look how much I'm accomplishing for God. That's pride. But rather that all of us would be humble servants of the Lord. So God gave Nebuchadnezzar a warning. And in verse 27, Daniel said, King, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. In other words, I want to give you some counsel, King. This hasn't happened yet. But break off thy sins by righteousness and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. In other words, take counsel. This morning, Lord, help us to take counsel and take admonition to humble our hearts. Pride takes a lot of different shapes. Pride comes in a lot of different forms. But if you think that I'm a little prettier than the next one, I'm a little more handsome than the next guy, oh, I look a little bit nicer than she does. That's pride. Oh, I'm a little bit smarter. I'm just kind of got it figured out and everybody else is kind of a little inferior. That is the attitude that King Nebuchadnezzar had. And Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, take counsel. Take counsel because this was a warning from the Lord. This is going to happen. But if you will turn your life around, if you'll humble your heart, the Lord can change. The Lord can change that. But did King Nebuchadnezzar listen? He didn't listen, did he? He didn't take heed to the counsel that was given. And so we find in verse 29, it said at the end of 12 months, 12 months to the day, I believe, that God had given the warning and given the dream, Nebuchadnezzar walked in the palace of the kingdom. And the king spake, and he looked over, and he's probably standing on his big old wall, looking over his dominions. And he said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and the honor of my majesty? And you know, we can look at that and say, oh, how proud. But have you ever found yourself, just even in your mind, in some way lifting yourself up in a way? And the Lord was saying, I gave that to you. How many of us actually made a difference in how we look this morning? Did anybody have control over their DNA? I look in the mirror and I can't help my nose. I can't help that I'm losing my hair. I can't help my height or lack thereof. I didn't have anything to do with it. So then the Lord wants us to accept that He made all of us just like we are. We were all valuable in His eyes. We're all special. We're all unique in a positive way that the Lord wants to use us. But who are we? Even when someone has amassed wealth and they say, this is what my hands, who gave you the strength and the ability and the opportunity to do that? It was God. And Nebuchadnezzar, with a warning, within 12 months, he was lifting himself up. Look how great I am. Look what I have done. And you know the story. It was fulfilled. Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind and he was driven out of the city and he lived as an animal for 7 years. He ate the grass of the field. His hair was matted. His fingernails grew long and he was, in essence, he was insane. Where was his majesty? Where was his glory? Where was his power then? God was showing Nebuchadnezzar, he was humbling him, that this came from me. Folks, I don't want to have that great of a fall. Lord, help us then to recognize that every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father. It's God's. It's God's. I've seen people, it seems like everything they touch turns to money. Do you know people like that? I've looked and I thought, how do they do it? Do you know what? God. Whether they're saved or not, God gave the ability and the power. It seemed like everything they touch just turns into opportunities. It's like you can look and look and look for an opportunity and not see it. And it seemed like whatever they just kind of walk into, it makes money. Where did they, is that because of their great intellect or great powers of reasoning? Not necessarily. Do you know that God has gifted and God has given everybody something to do and work with? But remember, it's from God this morning. Everything you have is from God. Young people and children, your looks, your intellect, your what you are as a person, God was the one that gave it to you. And He wants us not to be exalted. When you work for the Lord and say, oh, you go and say, oh, look what was done when I worked for the Lord. That's pride. That's spiritual pride. We're all the unprofitable servants. And if we can give God glory, the Scripture says, I am the Lord and that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. Let's not give anybody or ourselves the glory that belongs to God. He is sovereign. He rules in heaven and in earth. And so we find in Daniel 4 verse 33, it said the same hour was the thing fulfilled. The same hour that Nebuchadnezzar said, oh, look at what I have done. In the same hour, he lost his mind. And he was driven out. He lived as an animal, and you can read through these few verses coming, but it was fulfilled just like he dreamed. Nebuchadnezzar lived as an animal. He lost his kingdom. He lost his dominion. He lost his power. And in verse 34, it says, and at the end of the days, at the end of 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, this man who 7 years before had said, look what I have done, the greatest king of all time, greatest universe, the world power. He said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I bless the Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I praised and I honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? If we will humble ourselves, we shall be exalted. Nebuchadnezzar in his pride was brought low. We can spare ourselves from the Lord having to bring us low if we will humble ourselves. Lord, any good is from You. And I don't want to be proud, lifted up, puffed up. But Lord, we honor You as sovereign, as king. And when Nebuchadnezzar humbled his heart, God blessed him. He gave him his reasoning back. And at the same time, he said in verse 36, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. God gave him his kingdom back. The stump had been left. And when he had his reason to return, God gave him his kingdom back. The king that had been insane for 7 years, living as an animal, that was a miracle in and of itself, wasn't it? He regained his kingdom. And now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. This is the man who had his kingdom back. I'm not the same man I used to be. But I lift up the name of God and I praise Him whose works are truth, His ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, He is able to abase. He's able to bring them low and bring them down. Folks, God is sovereign this morning. Nebuchadnezzar was brought low and was abased. I don't know the end of Nebuchadnezzar, but he died. You know, it's very likely he died and went to heaven. We may meet Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. I don't know. But he extolled God then as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he said his dominion is everlasting. Now I've regained my kingdom, but I'm not lifting myself up anymore. It's only by the mercy of God. Saints, this morning, it is only the mercy of God that you have been blessed as we have been blessed. When God prospers something in your life, it is only by the mercy of God. When God blesses something that you put your hand to, it is only by His mercy. Let us extol Him. Because whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There is going to come a time that every knee is going to bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. How much better in our lives today, whether it be by temporal things, physical things, or spiritual things, to lift up God and recognize He is the one who gets all the glory. Pride is sin. Pride is blinding. Pride blinds. Pride warps realities. Pride causes strife and contention. Pride causes people to be alienated. Pride causes people to think that they are in a position that they're really not, and God can't bless in it. But if we as His people will humble our hearts, God will exalt us. And I would much rather be exalted by God than to be exalted by my own thinking, my own opinion. So in closing, as Jesus prayed in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen.